The sermon this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we are examining your word to know the ways that we are to apply your truth to our lives, that we would have a true wisdom, Lord, in accordance with your word and your will for our lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scripture and as we look at the reality of sin, it should strike us as we look back to the Garden of Eden. When we look at the Garden of Eden, we see Eve and we see Adam in the setting. And in that setting, God has told them specifically what they are to do and specifically what they are not to do. Well, what happens there is Satan comes along and he starts to tempt Eve by saying, it will be better for you if you do not listen to God and you do now what I tell you is right, and even what seems right in your own eyes. That you would look and that you would see this fruit, that it's pleasant to the eyes, that it's good to eat, and it's good to make one wise. And in that setting, in that time, she was deceived, and she went along with Satan. She received the fruit, and the consequences there were death. They're dead. Adam and Eve are dead. Their children are dead. Their grandchildren are dead. And as you go through the genealogies of scriptures, it says so-and-so begot so many children. He lived this many years, and then he died. Scripture, again and again and again and again, shows us the results of disobeying God. Now, as we look at the scripture now, we are given this picture of men who would stand up and see themselves as wise. They would look and they could see things and they could discern things in this world and they would put together their plans. And we'll even go ahead and taint the word a little bit and say their schemes. That they come up with their schemes and they come up with their designs. And they would say, now, based on my thinking, based on my logic, and based on my wisdom, I can bring all of this together and say, this is what we should do. And specifically, what was happening in Corinth, they're saying, this is what we should do, and Paul's an idiot. The scripture that he is giving, the words that he are saying, look at this man, he is foolish, and he is slow when he's among us, he's weak. Don't listen to these things. Listen to this. Listen to my wisdom. Well, as we look at scripture and as we look at our lives, isn't that always, always the exact same temptation that you and I experience in our lives? That God has told us what is good and what is perfect. He has told us the exact right things to do. And we start thinking, well, yeah, but. But as I look at this, isn't this good to eat? Isn't this pleasing to the eye? Won't there be more benefits for me to take and to do these things than there will be for me to follow specifically what God has said? I challenge you right now. Go ahead and look at your life. Go ahead and look. Go ahead and go back. Think through your years. Or think through your days. Or think through this week. Think through this morning, maybe. Haven't there been temptations where you knew specifically what God has said? And haven't you looked at those things and said, yeah, but there will be more benefit for me if I do this in accordance with my own wisdom, in accordance with my own desires? won't it be better? More fun. Happier. More comfortable. Give me better relationships. Well, as we look here, the scripture tells us that we're wrestling with God when we do this, and we're wrestling with God in the worst possible ways, when we're trying to impose our own desires in this life rather than giving way to His desire. So the scripture tells us here to, in order to become wise, as we would claim to want to be, as Eve and Adam wanted to become wise and become like God, but in order to become wise, the scripture tells us that we have to be foolish. We have to be foolish in order to become wise. And this is the call this morning. In order to become wise, become foolish. Our first step now. Number one, do not talk yourself into what is wrong. Do not talk yourself into what is wrong. That first section now of 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. Are you aware how good you are at deceiving yourself? That you can trick yourself at your own whims. I remember the story of Wyatt Earp when he was working, and he's retired from being a police officer, he's retired from being a sheriff, and he's going to open up a saloon. And he's opening up this saloon, and it's going to have gambling there. And this account, Doc Holliday, looks at him and said, "I thought you said that gambling is bad." And he said, No. I said blackjack is bad," or something like that. And he goes through his reasoning, and he lays it all out for him for these ways. Because of these things, and Doc Holliday looked at Wyatt Earp and looked at his brothers and said, "That's what I love about Wyatt. He can talk himself into just about anything." Isn't that true? For all of us, can't we look, and even the things that we have said, haven't you who have any years at all behind you, haven't you been in a position where you have said, I will never do this. Haven't you looked at someone else and their crimes and say, "I would never"? I have a friend who offhandedly said one time, "Whenever you test God, the devil listens." When you say, "I would never," I have to imagine that the devil's ears perk up in those moments. Like Job. When Job was righteous, the devil looked. And he just had to have that. He just had to have that saint. He just had to make that one fall. "I would never. I will never." And in those moments, doesn't it just come almost immediately afterward, that temptation and that reasoning? And how often in those moments have we fallen when we say, "I would never"? As we look at this idea here, let no man deceive himself. This past week, Amos did a science experiment. And this is a science experiment. He was testing the bacteria of different things. And he went around our house. And my wife would probably not love that I'm telling you this story. And he took little swabs from different areas. And he had paid attention where our hands went. And even watched when we touched the refrigerator door. And see who touched where and how often this area was touched. And he took his little swab and he took that and he took a sample and he had this little petri dish and he had some broth in there and he had some sugar in there and he wiped that in there and put that in. And he took samples from different places in the house. And then he took it and he put it under our couch where the heater blows up. And he slid it back. So what we had there was a wet, dark place with lots of opportunity to fester. And then when he pulled that out later on, a week later, he was able to look and see the growth that was actually taking place in these petri dishes from our hands, having touched places. What condition is your mind? Isn't that a warm, wet, dark place? How much does it take for something to be planted in there and to fester and to grow and to draw us away from where we ought to be. This is the fruit of sin. And I've seen people and I've known people. One of the most troubled people I knew, he would travel and he would travel and he would travel and he would travel driving and he would travel alone. And he would just get these ideas in his head and he would just play them over and over and over again. It was as if you could talk to him and there'd be something a little off. And then he would travel and he would come back 2 weeks later and you'd say, "Whoa, what has grown in your head while you were gone? In what ways have you deceived yourself?" Well, we can completely convince ourselves of what is wrong. We can talk ourselves into deceit and into wickedness. Now, the reason, and there are lots of reasons why this is a problem, but here's one specifically, that as we're not thinking in accordance with reality, as this passage is saying, a man deceiving himself, that means you no longer see what is. You don't see in accordance with reality. How big of a problem is that? If you're walking across a room and there's a chair but you don't see it, is that a problem? You might say, I'd move the chair. What if you're in the dark? If you run into something in the dark that wasn't supposed to be there? Have you ever walked into a door that was partially open? Parents, have you ever stepped on a Lego? It's a big deal not seeing what is. It's a big deal not being exposed to reality. So it's a big deal when one deceives himself. So there's a danger involved. Danger not putting your foot down where you should. The scripture warns us that the days are evil. How dangerous would it be for you to put a blindfold on, a perfect blindfold, and just try to walk through downtown Beaver Falls? To not see what is. Our next step, number two, is take special care if you consider yourself wise. Take special care if you consider yourself wise. This is the next portion of verse 18. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age. How do you discern if you think that you're wise? Well, if you think that you're wise, you are going to quickly blow off other people's counsel. You are not going to listen to the people that love you. The worst times in my life have come when people who loved me and people who were wise and people who were in authority over me, when I did not listen to them. That has been the worst pain and the worst misery that I have ever known. So we look and you consider yourself wise if you think you shouldn't listen to other people. If you think you have a special plan or you imagine that you have a special dispensation in life that you do not need other people's wisdom. You do not need other people's counsel. Or if you imagine that everything in this world would be better if people would just listen to what you say. You then consider yourself to be quite wise. If you are in a position where you say, "I do not need to listen to my elders, or my counselors, or my friends, or my closest neighbors," you are one of these who consider yourself wise. If you are quick to put yourself in isolation, imagining that it's safer because it doesn't require you to change a course that you have chosen. If you would hide the thoughts of your mind, if you would hide the plans of your steps, you are in a terrible position. A terribly dangerous position. I heard a brother recently say, if you are hiding things from your wife, that is a sign that you are in big trouble. This would be the case with a husband or a wife or your close counselors or your friends who are deep in the Word and who are deep in Scripture. Do you need to hide things from them? Then you consider yourself wise and you are in a very dangerous situation. So our next step as we are dealing with this idea, number three, is have a low view of your own intellect. Have a low view of your own intellect. And we see the next portion of verse 18. He must become foolish. He must become foolish. This is having a sense of need in your life. That you need other people to speak to you. You need the counsel of others. We are all in this life, and we are all sitting in a car, and we are all backing down a busy road, and none of us can turn around. We're doing it with just our mirrors. It was a terrifying experience when I started driving a box truck. All my life I had driven, and I could look over my shoulder. I drove a Geo Metro, which you could see all the way around a Geo Metro, the way the windows are all lined up. But when I got in a box truck and I started backing up, and there was a mirror in the front center for no reason whatsoever. It didn't show anything except the box behind me. And I thought, I can't. And you just have to look at the side mirrors. Well, what do you do when you have to back into a tight situation? You get a friend and you say, stand back there where I can see you in the mirror. And his job, at least in Ohio, is say, mom back, mom back, mom back. So you know specifically where to go. We need that. We need that. How would it be wise to be backing into a situation, but you don't tell your friend? You wouldn't tell anyone. You wouldn't tell anyone who could stand back there. No, no, I will do this better if no one knows what I am doing. It will be better for me. Doesn't that sound like something Satan would make up? Doesn't that sound like one of his tricks? No, you've got this. You don't need any help. It will be better for you if no one knows what you are doing and you are into. You can handle this yourself. You're strong enough. You're smart enough. You don't want to deal with the embarrassment of somebody knowing you need help. Well, the one who would be wise, the scripture tells us here, he must become foolish. And with us in this setting, this is us asking for help. Now, as we will be dealing with the idea of our own foolishness, we're not left there in verse 4, well, not verse 4, the next part of verse 18. And this is our fourth step. It is become wise. Become wise. One of the beautiful things about Scripture is we are not left in these stupid positions. We are not left where we're going to be utterly destroyed. We are not left as fools. So 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish, not left as a fool, so that he may become wise. So we're told that we're not left to wallow in our own foolishness when we are relying on others, when we have this help, when we have the scripture. This is having a sense of need, free from your foolish pride. How many times can you look at the sin that you remained in and see that it's a fruit of your own foolish pride? If you want to talk to some of your older members, what they have been through, what their pride has done to them, the pain and the misery that it has caused, and what they would do now. We become foolish so that we can become wise. Now our next step, number 5, there's a number of passages that are going to be listed here. I'm not sure if they're listed in your outline, but I'm going to go through a number for you. Our fifth step is remember that your own reasoning is severely limited. Your own reasoning is severely limited. Verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. So that's saying that the best things that we can sort out, the best laid plans of mice and men, going to fall. That's what's going to happen. As I was thinking through and trying to come up with an example of this or an illustration, I think of the time that I watched the little children in the church and I came up with this plan for what we were going to do. And one of the four-year-olds came up to me and said, "Pastor, I have a great idea. Something far better than your 42 years could come up with. My 4 years and my wisdom has surpassed all of that. You should listen to me." That is how we behave towards God with our plans. As we look at our own perspectives and rely completely on them. Job 38, 1 through 4, which we'll be reading tonight. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" Can you picture the storm? Can you see the lightning? Can you feel the thunder? And the voice booms out at Job and he stands there and God says, "Who are you? Who would tell me? Who would instruct me? Who would imagine that he knows more than I know?" This is the way the scripture speaks to us. This is what it tells us. Psalm 147, verse 5. "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." Infinite understanding. I look around and I wonder what's going on. I wonder what people are thinking. I wonder what people are planning. I wonder this, I wonder that, and I don't know. Here it says, his understanding is infinite. So when we look at his word, let's just go back to Eden again. When he says, "Don't," with the tree. He just says, "Don't." And we look and say, "But it's good to look at. Pleasing to the eye. Good for food. Good for making one wise. I should definitely take it." His understanding is infinite. And can we look, and can we just for a moment think about the death of our loved ones? Just for a moment. That all of that, the death of our loved ones, all of that was a consequence of pleasing to the eye, good to eat, good for making one wise. I think I'll take it. That is sin, and that is us being wise in our own sight. That is us putting off God's wisdom. Isaiah 40, 28, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable." That is impossible to understand, beyond our own interpretation. Hebrews 4:13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Isaiah 46:9-10, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Knowing the end from the beginning, or the beginning to the end. I was in a situation where I was talking to a young man and I observed his best friend and I said, "Your best friend is a pathological liar." He said, "No, I don't think so." I said, "He is. I've seen this before. He's a pathological liar." He said, "No, I don't think so." I said, "He is, and here's what's going to happen in the future." I said, "In the future, he's going to call you, and he's going to say, 'I need help carrying something,' and you're going to say, 'Okay, you're my best friend, I will help you carry something.' And you're going to help him carry it, and it's going to turn out it wasn't his, and you stole with him." A few months down the road, he calls me, he said, "You won't believe what happened." I said, "What happened?" He said, "My friend called me. He said he needed some help moving some equipment, but his truck was broken down. So I brought my truck, and we loaded it up, and he said, 'Guess what?' I said, 'What?' He said, 'It wasn't his.' He said, 'Now I'm in trouble with the sheriff.' I said, 'Wow, who would have ever thought that would happen?'" And I said, do you remember 2 months ago what I told you? He said, oh, yeah. He said, wow, you're smart. I said, yeah, you should listen to me. Here we look at Scripture beyond whatever my 42 years could have figured out at that point. The God who sees everything, everything, beginning to the end, everyone's heart, and He tells us exactly what we are supposed to do. And we say, ah, but it looks good. Bet it tastes good. Bet it'll make me wise. That would be better. And we walk and we wallow into death again and again. Psalm 44:21. Would not God find this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart. This brings us to our last step. Give way to true wisdom. Give way to true wisdom. Now I bring this to you now because each of you are now in a position where you are making decisions. You have to choose what to do. And you can look at your life and you can rationalize and you can reason and you can put things in that warm, wet, dark place and you can let it fester and you can talk yourself into things. Or you can simply listen to what God says. The other half of Amos's experiment, he was working with garlic. And the question is garlic an antibacterial? Can garlic stop this from happening? In every one of his petri dishes, he had two. There was a pair. One he put some garlic in. The other he put none in. And when he pulled that out from under the couch, after 8 days, we looked. The ones with no garlic was growing and festering. The ones with some garlic in it, it's clean. Completely clean. No growth whatsoever. And we take garlic and we say, ah, but it stinks. Ah, I don't want it. We take the word of God and say, ah, I don't want it. I don't want it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to do these things. It's going to be hard to say these things. It's going to be hard to put things off. One of the things I hate most is people's excuse. Ah, easier said than done. I say, of course it's easier said than done. Of course it is. It's ridiculous to even have to say it. It's not an excuse. More likely, it's a reason to go for it. It's easier said than done. Scripture's hard. Scripture's difficult. But it gives us true wisdom. It gives us true life. Be truly wise. Be truly wise by admitting that you are foolish. That you need what God says. And you need wise counsel. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You that You continuously speak so clearly to us in Your Word. God, do give us the wisdom to follow You and to rejoice in You, that You would be most glorified in our lives as we obey You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.